Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, July 9th, 2014. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Idaho Transportation Department releases final environmental impact statement on widening U.S. Highway 95 south of Moscow. Still prefers the eastern route over the flank of Paradise Ridge. Private Medicaid reimbursement firm in Idaho stops paying for psychosocial rehabilitation services for children with ADHD. And the first person to buy legalized recreational cannabis in Spokane says he has now lost 2 out of 3 of his part-time jobs. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The company contracted to provide Medicaid reimbursements for outpatient behavioral health services is no longer reimbursing some patients for psychosocial rehabilitation for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Idaho Psychiatric Rehabilitation Association Chair Jody Smith told the Idaho Falls Press Republican she estimates Optum Idaho has cut about half of those receiving psychosocial rehabilitation for ADHD in Idaho under Medicaid. Idaho Department of Health and Welfare spokesperson Tom Shanahan told the paper 9,203 children in Idaho received psychosocial rehabilitation under the Medicaid program in fiscal year 2013. Optum Idaho does not believe psychosocial rehabilitation therapy is an effective treatment for ADHD. Optum Idaho spokesperson Brad Lauderman said in an email to the Press Republican, before Optum, community-based rehabilitation services were authorized as an approved service for children with ADHD, despite limited medical evidence to show that community-based rehabilitation services were effective in treating children with ADHD. The most widely accepted evidence-based practice for ADHD in children is behavior therapy. Shanahan of the health department said behavioral therapy, quote, seems more appropriate for a child with ADHD. But Smith of the State Psychiatric Rehabilitation Association says psychosocial rehabilitation has only been offered since the 1990s, and the approach has not been monitored enough since then. However, she says the work practices of those working in psychosocial rehabilitation have improved over time, making it a more effective treatment. Smith said psychosocial rehabilitation is a skill-building service that engages the child and the family. It's a very hands-on approach to replacing maladaptive behaviors with adaptive behaviors. When it's applied appropriately, it really does work. The man who bought the first grams of legalized recreational cannabis in Spokane yesterday said he has been fired from 2 of his 3 part-time jobs. Mike Boyer was interviewed by various Spokane media outlets for being the first in line at Spokane Greenleaf on Country Homes Boulevard yesterday, the first day of legal recreational marijuana sales in Washington. Boyer told the Spokesman Review website this afternoon his employer, Kodiak Security, had given him until 2:30 this afternoon to take a urine test and that he wouldn't likely pass the test. Kodiak Security Human Resources Manager Kim Ramey told the paper Boyer is still employed by the firm, but employees are tested as part of company policy. Ramey said, "We're a security firm. Our employees can't be under the influence on the job." Police in Spokane have released the names of those involved in a shooting at Deaconess Hospital yesterday morning that left 2 people dead. The Spokesman Review reported a man went to the Rockwood Cancer Clinic on the 7th floor of the hospital and killed his wife, who was an employee of the clinic, and then shot himself. Police said today that 37-year-old Christopher P. Henderson shot 30-year-old Sheena M. Henderson multiple times in the head and torso and then turned the gun on himself. Police closed the hospital for a time yesterday, but it was reopened later in the afternoon, although an investigation is still going on. Post Falls police have arrested 24-year-old Angel Alberico Morales Larraña on two counts of first-degree murder for the strangulation deaths of Facunda Venezuela Leon and her 5-year-old daughter, Diana Valencia, at an apartment yesterday. Police say Morales Larraña removed his own two children from the apartment before returning and killing the two. At an arraignment, First District Magistrate Judge Barry Watson set a $2 million bail for Morales Larraña. Moscow has announced four finalists for fire chief. They are Micah Kidd Island Fire Department Chief Jason Bluebaum, Coeur d'Alene resident Stephen DeCellis, who is the former fire chief at Aramco Fire Department in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia, Los Alamos County, New Mexico Fire Marshal Brian Nickerson, and former Pendleton, Oregon Fire Chief Gary Woodson. City staff, city council members, and Moscow Volunteer Fire Department representatives will interview the four candidates, and the new fire chief will likely be announced Friday, July 18th. Assistant Fire Chief Joe Williams has been serving as interim fire chief since Ed Button retired last month. The Idaho State Police say a 2003 Chrysler Cruiser that contained the bodies of 22-year-old Talia Rushing and 2-year-old Leighton Hallmark, both of Boise, has been recovered from the Loxaw River near Lowell. The vehicle, driven by 29-year-old Boone Hallmark, crashed into the river last week on Wednesday when Hallmark apparently fell asleep while driving. Hallmark was swept out of the vehicle and was not able to save his family. The Idaho Transportation Board will visit Moscow tomorrow morning, 2 days after the release of the final environmental impact statement on the route choices for U.S. Highway 95 south of Moscow. The 1,200-page environmental impact statement was released yesterday, and like the draft EIS, the new document recommends the state use an eastern route that goes over Paradise Ridge when they widen the 6 miles of highway to 4 lanes. Idaho Transportation Department project manager Ken Helm told the Lewiston Tribune the department's designation of a preferred route does not necessarily mean the route will be built there. Helm also said the ITD received about 400 comments on the draft EIS. Meanwhile, the Transportation Board will stop at vantage points on Zietler Road and Cameron Road south of Moscow, where the proposed east and central U.S. 95 routes can be viewed at 9 a.m. tomorrow. The board will be traveling from Lewiston to Moscow during that part of the tour, which includes stops at the Port of Lewiston, the Intermodal Transit Center in Moscow, Potlatch City Hall, and the Plummer ITD Maintenance Shed. Helm said the ITD will submit the final environmental impact statement on the U.S. 95 route options to the Federal Highway Administration, whose legal team will review it. After an estimated 2 months reviewing the document and its numerous technical reports, the Federal Highway Administration can approve the statement, and then there will be a 30-day comment period. The Idaho Transportation Department's U.S. 95 to Thorn Creek Road website lists a more specific schedule in which an environmental review of the final EIS will be done by the Idaho Transportation Department and Federal Highway Administration staff in Idaho this month, to be followed by a legal sufficiency review by the Federal Highway Administration staff in Washington, D.C. during August and September. The schedule then says a notice will be published in the Federal Register, followed by a 30-day review period. A record of decision would be issued in late December. The Federal Highway Administration makes the final decision on the route, although the federal agency often follows the recommendations of state transportation officials. Once a record of a decision is made, the Transportation Department can begin the design phase. The ITD will spend $40 million in federal money it has on hand for design. Helm told the Lewiston Tribune, "My goal is get through the whole process by summer 2016 so we can start construction sometime in 2016. That will be very aggressive, but doable. The Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition, however, is threatening to sue if the eastern route over the ridge is chosen. Opponents say invasive weeds typically spread for up to a mile and a half from road construction areas, impacting some of the last remnants of native Palouse Prairie habitat on Paradise Ridge. Because of more than a century of farming on the Palouse, Palouse Prairie is now one of the most endangered habitats in North America. Several specimens of the extremely elusive giant Palouse earthworm, part of the Palouse Prairie ecosystem, have been found in the last decade on Paradise Ridge, despite almost no sightings of the worm during the century before on the Palouse. The giant Palouse earthworm is an example of a native North American earthworm, most of which have been replaced by European transplants. Opponents of the eastern route also say the ITD's weather study for the draft environmental impact statement was flawed because it was done during a winter period with no snow. They say an eastern route over the ridge would mean less safe driving conditions with higher likelihood of ice fog and blowing snow. They also point out the higher elevation eastern route on Paradise Ridge would likely have more ungulates, such as elk and deer, crossing the highway. The Transportation Department is officially considering a central alignment for the widened US 95, which would more closely follow the current route of the highway, and a western route close to the Washington state line. Critics of the Transportation Department's draft EIS say the document misstated how many people and businesses would be displaced by the central and eastern alignments. A chart comparing the three proposed alignments on page 13 of the draft EIS states 8 businesses would be displaced by the central alignment and 0 would be displaced along the eastern and western alignments. The same chart says 7 residences would be displaced by an eastern route and 5 would be displaced by the central route. Former Paradise Ridge resident Lottie Forbes told KRFP last year she spoke with Idaho Transportation Department District Right-of-Way Supervisor Tim Long and other ITD officials for more than an hour at the public hearing on the draft EIS in January 2013 and found the numbers in the draft EIS were wrong. In February of last year, Forbes spoke to KRFP about her interaction with District Right-of-Way Supervisor Tim Long and Statewide Right-of-Way Supervisor Carmen Reese.
And between the two of them, they said to be displaced, you have to have the right-of-way line actually physically go through the building. And if you look at the maps, you'll see that the right-of-way line does not do that. And so the right-of-way will encroach on the businesses, but my understanding is that many of those businesses, when they built themselves, they knew the highway could be widened there, and so they built knowing that they had to be set back. And he mentioned that JJ's building supply, for example, they did an addition on their store, and they checked first to see, you know, where they should build so they wouldn't be within that right-of-way. And so some of those right-of-ways are purchased and some aren't, but regardless, all those businesses are back from it. So the way they could be affected is greater noise, and some may have, say, like a parking lot that is a little more infringed on. I know Mundy's, they said it would be a little harder for their trucks to back in when they do deliveries for fabrication materials, and but that it wouldn't make it so they would lose business or anything. You know, it wouldn't be a problem to have the highway there. No businesses will be displaced. And so on the, I found this really misleading because right on their bulletin board there at the hearing and then also in the environmental impact statement, the draft one, it says that 8 businesses will be displaced. And it's just not true, basically. So,
okay.
And he wanted me to specifically write in my comment letter that there will be no definitive displacement of businesses on C3 and that this is misleading to the public. So that's what Tim Long was so helpful, and he said that he's spoken with his supervisor regarding this, and that there needs to be some communication between who's writing the draft environmental impact statement and the right-of-way people.
Okay, and I am looking at page 13 of the draft environmental impact statement, the very opening section, and that's where the chart is that says there will be business replacements along the C3 route, the western and eastern proposed routes, zero business, and also the chart for residential displacement reports 3 for the western route, 7 for the central route, and 5 for the eastern route. And from your conversations with Tim Long and Carmen Reese of the ITD, the right-of-way supervisors and agents, respectively, you're hearing that there's different numbers.
Yeah, so what I was told, I checked back with him, and I called Tim Long on, February 11th, so a few days ago, and just talked with him and said, hey, you know, we discussed businesses at the hearing, and now I'd like to hear about the residents and what you think on that. What's your perspective looking at the maps? Because you can look and to see if the line goes through. And so I wanted to hear from him what it was. And I've been hearing a lot of misinformation. It seems like everywhere I looked, it was different information. And so what he said from looking at the maps is that for the western and actually the central route, there's one house that would be displaced. And so it's the same house, actually, if either of those alternatives were chosen. Yeah, for the western and central routes, it would be one house. And so even here it says it would be 3 on this chart that you were just quoting for the western route. And for the eastern alternative, it says 5. What they're thinking of doing now, he said, and I don't know how many mobile homes are in the park, the mobile home park there on Ide Road, is that they would actually buy out and displace all of the whole entire mobile home park, because the well there is going to be displaced, and there's another well that's questionable that had been drilled but blew out, and so it's not really functioning right now. So they've decided the simplest thing, or for them it seems like the most practical thing, is to buy out everybody there. And I don't know how many, he hasn't told me how many mobile homes, how many families or residents would be displaced.
And that would only happen if the eastern route is built.
That would only happen if the eastern route is built, and there'd also be a home north of the mobile home park that would on Ide Road that would also be displaced.
Now, how many residences is Tim Long telling you would be displaced by the central route?
He said 1.
That was former Paradise Ridge resident Lottie Forbes speaking to KRFP in February of last year. The Idaho Transportation Department last year responded to KRFP by calling and inquiring about the topic of the proposed interview, but ultimately did not provide a spokesperson to answer questions about the discrepancy. There is strong support for widening the 6-mile stretch of U.S. 95 south of Moscow soon because of a high rate of accidents on the 2-lane stretch between the Moscow city limits and Thorn Creek Road. Moscow City Councilmember Walter Steed often brings up the issue, as in this clip with Moscow City Supervisor Gary Riedner at Monday night's Moscow City Council meeting this week.
If I may appoint to Gary and Wayne, if y'all are attending the ITD board at the Transit Center, once you get through showing that off, don't forget, we've got 6 miles of highway that needs rebuilt down there, please.
We hardly let a meeting go by without mentioning that.
Don't. Please don't.
We will not.
Some supporters of the Eastern Alignment have blamed the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition, who originally sued to force the ITD to do a full environmental impact statement, for the delays and hence the highway deaths. However, those opposed to the Paradise Ridge Eastern route say the Idaho Transportation Department could set a lower speed limit on the 2-lane section of U.S. Highway 95 until the new 4-lane highway issue is sorted out, but has not done so all these years. An email from Wild Idaho Rising Tide this afternoon says the group and the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition encourages those concerned about the eastern route to attend the Transportation Board tour's stops on Zietler Road and at the Intermodal Transit Center in Moscow to interject their concerns. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow. Moscow resident Nils Peterson told the city council Monday night the city should ramp up its greenhouse gas reduction program. Peterson said he was spurred after listening to a report to the council from the city sustainability intern.
My fundamental concern is that the city has ostensibly been working on reducing its greenhouse gas emissions since passing the resolution in 2010. Caldwell reported some progress has been made with the EcoDriver program, but mostly he reported on collecting baseline data, which the ICLEI process he's using has as the first of five steps. It's now 2014. There are five budget years remaining before 2020, your deadline. Purchasing clean electricity and making toilets more efficient are low-hanging fruit, either of which might allow the city to meet its emissions goal.
That was Moscow resident Nils Peterson speaking during the public comment section of Monday night's Moscow City Council meeting. Peterson noted the city's water pumping and sewage systems are responsible for 43% of the city's greenhouse gas emissions. He also had other suggestions.
I presume the city could approach Avista and contract purchase some or all of its electricity from sources that do not produce greenhouse gas emissions. I want to urge the council to consider addressing its greenhouse gas emissions goal by purchasing clean electricity. Caldwell also made a passing suggestion that the city take most of the water, sewer, greenhouse gas emissions off its books by assigning them to its customers. That led me to consider what I could do to cut 20% of the greenhouse gas emissions associated with my water sewer use. The simple strategy I could adopt is conservation. If I were to use 20% less water and sewer, I would be responsible for 20% less emissions. The simple way to do that is with a more efficient toilet, because toilets are both major water users and major sewer producers. A low-flow toilet uses 1.6 gallons versus 3.5 gallons of older designs, a 50% reduction. I want to urge the council to establish a toilet exchange program. It would conserve water. It would also reduce the city's greenhouse gas emissions associated with both water and sewer operations.
That was Moscow resident Nils Peterson speaking at Monday night's city council meeting. Sandpoint police officers shot and killed a woman last night outside Bonner General Hospital. A Bonner County Sheriff's deputy told Spokane television station KREM the female suspect was armed with a knife and came at them. Police have not released details such as how many shots were fired or how many officers were present. Police remained on the scene from late last night into this morning. Bonner General Hospital remained open overnight, arranging for a alternative emergency entrance. The Bonner County Sheriff's Office is heading the investigation into the officer-involved shooting. Sheriff Darrell Wheeler said resources were strained because of the recent officer-involved shooting along Interstate 90 in Post Falls. Wheeler said, "It is tough, especially here in Bonner County. We have so many officers down, spending many resources in that shooting in Post Falls, and we have our own crime we are investigating." In the Pullman, Moscow area, the American Humanist Association will run a test on new slogans to be placed on billboards to determine if the slogans should be used on a national level. The association says it will pay to have five billboards installed in the area reading "Good Works in Non-Mysterious Ways." American Humanist Association Executive Director Roy Speckart told the Daily News the Palouse is a good test market for them. Speckart said it's been a great area because it is a politically diverse area. The Palouse chapter of the American Humanist Association holds weekly discussions in Moscow at the One World Cafe downtown. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, it'll be mostly clear tonight with a low of 55, sunny high around 90 tomorrow and Friday, and sunny high around 94 Saturday and Sunday and Monday, with lows 55 Thursday night, around 60 Friday and Saturday night, and 65 on Sunday night. Currently at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport, fair skies 90 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. We have Between the Lines, a weekly news magazine, coming up next, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. That'll be on at about 6:40. At about 7:40, we'll have This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian News Magazine. And shortly after 8 p.m., we'll have Live from Moscow Renaissance Fair on the air. The Grateful Dead Through the Decades is on live at 9:30 p.m. tonight. And more entertainment and music throughout the evening here on KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial. I'm Lee Robartis, Chris DeLucino, assisted with tonight's newscast. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. Have a good evening. This is KRFP, Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3.